A new report finds your yogurt cup or hummus container that you throw in the blue bin is probably not being recycled. Greenpeace surveyed all 367 recycling facilities in the U.S. to find out what types of plastic are being reused and what types are just going on to the landfill. Researchers found a lot of what we think we're recycling shouldn't be labeled as recyclable at all, they say. In fact, they found while products labeled with a number one or two recycling label are usually accepted at plants, lots of others with different numbered labels are not. This, of course, all comes as China has upended the world recycling market by cutting back how much plastic they'll take and then recycle. But our next guest says all of this might seem dire, but it's actually an opportunity for innovation. Mark Bernstein is the chair of the Rob and Melanie Walton Sustainability Solutions Service at ASU, and he told me the findings of this study are not surprising.
It's not surprising, and we have known that there are different types of plastics. And some of them are recyclable and some of them are not. We still encourage people to put them in and we separate it out, but it's not surprising.
So is this a labeling issue? Is this a consumers not knowing what's recyclable issue? Where does this start?
It's all of the above. It is the fact that now there are multiple different types of plastics going into one container. There are certain plastics that are just not recyclable at the moment, like thin plastic bags and stuff. Mm-hmm. And we don't communicate well to consumers about what can go in and what can't.
One thing I thought was surprising about this study was this numbering system. I didn't even really realize this was a thing, but then I looked at the cup that I was holding, a plastic cup, and it said recycle, a little symbol, and inside of it had the number one. How does this work? What is the labeling?
So the labeling is the type of plastic. Mm-hmm. So there is 1 to 7, and it gets bigger and harder as you get up. So big, hard plastic stuff are higher numbers and lighter stuff is fewer numbers.
Okay. So the study found the products labeled with a number 1 or 2 are largely recycled, whereas numbers 3 through 7 are largely not recycled. Does this mean we shouldn't be putting those items in the bin?
Well, it depends on where you live.
Right.
So some communities are able to recycle some of the 3 through 7s. Most are not. You just need to check. Every city's got a website, and you can check what goes in and what doesn't.
So a lot of the onus of this ends up on the consumer, it sounds like.
It has to at this point. But things will change, and things can change as we get new technologies and new ideas out there.
Let's talk about that. What could some solutions look like in terms of innovation, in terms of stopping using plastics that are not recyclable?
So what we're beginning to see are companies taking initiative to change the type of plastics they're using because consumers are kind of pissed at all the plastics going in the ocean.
Right. And we see those pictures of, you know, massive amounts of plastics in the oceans making islands, essentially.
Exactly. Big, giant islands, twice the size of Texas.
Yeah.
And people are getting annoyed by that. What can they do about it? Well, they can tell companies we want different solutions because we're not going to get federal legislation anytime soon. I mean, maybe we'll get something on sort of standards and have some standards. But the fact is companies are beginning to take responsibility and beginning to talk about it because consumers are caring about it.
So in your mind, this will be market driven, essentially.
It has to be because we're not going to legislate this. But there is an economic value proposition as well. Less waste means less costs. Less cost means more profits.
So it could pay off for businesses?
Yes, it will.
Which businesses are leading the way on this? What are we seeing already?
We're seeing the big beverage companies, you know, making goals and standards for using recycled plastics, for reducing the amount of plastics, for changing the packaging. We have those little six-pack things, rings, and we've got companies making them out of fiber now. And so they're not going to be plastic anymore. They're beginning to roll those things out. And again, it's being driven by customers, particularly Gen Zers who really want to see change happen.
It's young people. What are the culprits when we look at the problem? Plastic bags we know are a problem. Straws became a big issue in the news recently. What are the things that we should get rid of in your mind?
Single-use plastics, stuff that you use once and throw away. And we have a role in that, bring our own water bottles, bring your own bags to supermarkets. It is consumers have to take some of that responsibility, but also the producers need to take some responsibility as well. We need to innovate new technologies, and we need to change the perspectives on how we look at the problem.
How much of this has to do with just the shifting market of recycling right now in general? We've heard a lot about China sort of rejecting American recyclables. Is anything getting recycled in that sense?
So there are markets beginning to emerge domestically. Mm-hmm. And I think China's ban is actually a good thing because it creates an opportunity for innovation. It creates an opportunity for us to say, well, you know what? We need to keep it here and we need to create new innovators and entrepreneurs here. At ASU, we've been running an incubator for a few years on creating entrepreneurs and innovation in small-scale recycling. And we've incubated a few companies. It's an opportunity that creates jobs, creates growth, and creates new ideas locally.
So it opens an American market.
Opens an American market. It's like the oil embargoes of the 70s and 80s, where prices went up, people got scared, and actually created investments in energy efficiency and renewable energy. Mm-hmm. So the LED lights you put in your house today, those all came out of the push around that time to say we need to be less dependent on oil from other places. Now we need to be less dependent on plastics from other places and sending our waste to other places.
So it sounds like there's almost a perfect storm of factors that are going to push us in, you think, a good direction.
I'd say it's a perfect opportunity to make change and create innovation and use the fact that we have value, we can create value, and we can create jobs.
Okay, before I let you go, I want to ask about potential legislative possibilities here. There is a bill in Congress that would ban plastic takeout bags, utensils, plastic foam, stuff that cannot be recycled. And, you know, some places have been successful with plastic bag bans that didn't work so well here in Arizona. What would that framework look like that you mentioned earlier?
So I think at the federal level, bans are not going to work. But I do think we can set some standards so that we reduce the number of different types of plastics that go into containers and set standards for how they're measured and how we label them. So they're much more understandable, almost like your calorie labels on foods. People kind of tend to understand what's there. And so we need to create these labels for products that people really know what they can do with it and maybe avoid buying something in it if it's something they don't want to have to throw away.
So it sounds like even though we've all been recycling for quite some time, like most of my lifetime, that this is sort of a very shifting industry right now. Like it might look very different in a few years.
Absolutely. Like any other industry. Right. It's going to evolve. It's going to change. It's going to be more efficient. And it's going to be more productive as we go along.
All right. Well, an optimistic view. That is Mark Bernstein, chair of the Rob and Melanie Walton Sustainability Solutions Service at ASU. Thank you so much for coming in, Mark.
Thank you for having me today.